The fruit we bear. Our text was from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. And we read in that text how Jesus said, "I am the vine, you're the branches. My Father is the vine dresser or the husbandman." Jesus basically said in that text, "Abide in me, because if you don't, you can't bear fruit." Then Jesus said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples." We looked at several things this morning. In our introduction, we noted that Jesus points out in that text that he is the source. When he says, "I am the vine, the true vine, you're the branches." Jesus is our source. He provides us with that which we need in order to become what he wants us to be. We noted this morning how many people have all kinds of different things that they build their lives around and draw their strength from, as it were, in order to try to be what they want to be. But Jesus is the true source. We noticed also that Jesus points out in that text that fruit bearing is not optional. Bearing fruit is not something that we do if we want to. And if we don't want to, we don't have to fool with it. Jesus said, if we don't bear fruit, we as branches will be cut off. And then Jesus goes on to say that God demands much fruit. "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." We live in an age of, well, some have called it the age of mediocrity, where everybody just kind of wants to coast along and get by with as much as you have to do, but don't do any more than you really absolutely need to do. And a lot of people approach serving God with that same attitude. And that's not going to get us very far. Because Jesus says God is glorified when we bear much fruit. We noted this morning how that God probably has higher expectations on some of us, from some of us, than we actually have for ourselves. We need to measure up to the capacity that we have. We noticed also that Jesus points out unmistakably that the key to all of this is abide in me. Abiding in Jesus. Abiding means living, staying, being there. We raised the question this morning, where is your home address, spiritually speaking? Our address must be in Jesus. Jesus said, unless you abide in me and I in you, you cannot bear fruit. And so after looking at that little bit of introductory material, we covered about two or three points this morning. We noticed that winning others to Christ and helping them to grow after we have won them to Christ is fruit that every one of us need to be bearing. It's easy to say that soul winning is the duty and the responsibility of the church. It's difficult to say that soul winning is the responsibility and the duty of individuals in the church, because that puts it in a whole different light. We like the group setting. We like the group characteristic of the church. We want to say, yes, that's my church. I'm part of that church. That's where I worship. Until the question says, well, what do you do exactly? When it becomes a matter of individual focus, we sometimes get a little bit nervous because we're real good at claiming to be part of the group. But when something appears to be an individual responsibility, we get a little bit hesitant. Winning souls to Christ and helping them to grow is fruit that we must bear. Secondly, we noticed this morning that practical holiness of life is fruit that we must each bear. Living our lives in holiness, that is, separate from the world, apart from worldliness, not like the world, but different from the world, personal, practical holiness. Holiness of living is fruit. Then, thirdly, we said this morning that doing good works is fruit that we must bear. Now, I want to spend a little bit more time on this point this evening because I I feel like this morning we sort of rushed through it, and I didn't, because of the lack of time, I didn't spend very much time, and there were a couple of things that I really wanted to say. We noted this morning that Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 mentions those things that we call the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, the Lord calls them the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. He says, and against such there is no law. And I said this morning that we've been a little bit confused sometimes. I think we say that that list of things, we've looked at it like an exhaustive list, an exhaustive list of requirements. And as long as you have all of those things or do a little bit of those things, then you've got all of the fruit going. You've got everything in order. That's not the way it is. Those things are tools. Those are tools that we are provided with by God's Spirit, through His Word and its teaching and its effect and God's will upon our lives. Those things help us to be more effective at doing good. That is not a list of all of the good things that we need to have in our lives. Good works. Let me give you some examples. Hearing that someone in the church has been injured or involved in an accident and just showing up at their house with your lawnmower or weed eater and taking care of the yard unannounced without being asked, or weeding the flower beds or working the garden. That's good works. Hearing that a family in the church has been in an accident on the road on the way to Bible camp and dropping what you're doing to go and pick up those kids off the side of the road and take them to the mall where they can cool off and helping the mother make arrangements for renting a car. That's doing good works. Finding out that someone in the church has lost their job and then finding out that they're about to have their power cut off because they haven't paid their power bill and don't have the money to do so, and you go and very quietly and very anonymously pay that bill. That's doing good works. Doing good works involves finding out about needs and quietly, quickly, and if possible, anonymously filling those needs. You see, that kind of good works is only possible, or it's most possible, when we are involved with one another, when we keep track of one another. I know that some of us are hard to keep track of. Somebody told me just a little bit ago up at Georgia Road at the singing, said, I called all of y'all yesterday and couldn't find any of you. I wanted to invite you to come to our meeting and our singing. I said, well, you ought to know, we always come without an invitation. He said, well, I called everybody and I couldn't get a hold of anybody. You're all, I said, sometimes it's hard to find us. Some of us live that way. Sometimes it's hard to track us down. But you know, there are some times when we have the opportunity to know a little bit more about one another and to interact with one another. But because we're so busy and we've got all these other things going, we suddenly, I've said a lot of times, you know, sometimes as a preacher, I'm the last one to find out things. A lot of times that's my fault. And sometimes we have difficulties helping one another because we don't know about the needs of one another. This is not to say that good works that we are to do are to be limited to members of this local congregation, but that's the best starting place in the world. It is God's will that we bear the fruit of doing good works. And now, number four on our list. unselfish giving to the cause of Christ is a fruit we must bear. The Apostle Paul says it like this in Romans chapter 15, beginning with verse 25. "But now I'm going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints, for it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. It pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors, for if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things. Therefore, when I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I shall go by way of you to Spain." You see, when Paul gathered that collection from the Gentile Christians for the poor saints in Jerusalem, he called their offering a fruit. One of the characteristics of the early Christians was their joyful sharing of their goods and their possessions. It was not communism, as some people have tried to suggest. It was Christ-like compassion. Going back to the earlier point, they cared for one another. They were very interested in one another. They were all located there together. That made it very convenient. Many of them had traveled from faraway places to be there in Acts chapter 2. And those resulting days and weeks that probably turned into months and for some of them years enabled a large group of God's people to form there and to help one another. Verses 44 and 45 of Acts chapter 2. "Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need." Today I think we're supposed to follow that example as best we can. And John says in 1 John 3:17, "But whosoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" Look at it this way. Giving to God and giving to others in his name is not something we do. It is the result of what we are. It's not what we do. It is a product of what we are. When the branch is receiving life from the vine, it cannot help but give. The branch exists to give, to bear the fruit. It receives the nourishment from the vine, and it bears the fruit. The believer cannot selfishly hold on to whatever material blessings God has given to him or her. If he is abiding in the vine, he cannot help but to give. So if there is no giving, or if there is but token giving, then there's something wrong with the abiding. And then number 5. Praise and thankfulness are fruit that we must bear. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, the writer says, "Therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God." That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The question that we all need to answer is, what is the fruit that is born by my lips? There are a lot of things that characterize me, and a lot of those things come out of my mouth. the things that I say, the way that I say them. But more importantly, I could hope and pray that I will be characterized by the use of my lips in thankfulness and praise to God. The outpouring of praise and thanksgiving should characterize our daily lives. If we wait for worship services to praise and thank God, then maybe He'll wait till Sunday to give us any blessings. How about that? Make no mistake, there is to be a distinction, I believe, in our worship in formal assemblies such as this one. I've heard people try to argue, well, you know, there's really nothing to a worship assembly like that. I can worship God just as well by myself out in the boat, on the pond, or in the woods, or whatever. And there is an important distinction that is made whenever we come together in the corporate assembly like this to worship God. That is important. And to neglect that is a sign of some very serious problems that will always grow to be bigger. But to some degree, I believe it is very true to say that every day of our lives is a day in which we should offer up praise and thanksgiving to God. If not so much publicly, at least, shall we say, personally. And that no less fervently than we would if we were all together, blending our voices in song in a service such as this. The secret of living is fruit bearing. God did not create us, neither did Jesus die for us, that we might go through our lives just getting, as we say sometimes, gimme, gimme, gimme. That's not why God made us. And that's not why Jesus died for us, so that we could be takers and getters. If we refuse to bear fruit, we will miss the true meaning and the glory of the Christian life. If we yield to Christ and permit His life to create His fruit through us, then we will truly live. And no doubt there are many who, even though they go through the motions and call themselves God's children, are missing the crucial element of being fruitful and allowing the Lord's work to be seen through their efforts. So are you willing to be a branch? Are you willing for His life to work in and through you? Then certainly, if so, you must get into Christ by obedience to the gospel and abide there, as Jesus said and as we observed this morning, for the purpose of bearing fruit and for fulfilling God's plan that He has for every one of us.